Good morning. Is it? Good morning. Good morning. It's right there then? All right. So I'm reading Matthew 20, 17 through 28. Jesus foretells his death a third time. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." A mother's request. Then the mother of the son of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Do you not know what you are asking? You are able to drink the cup that I am to drink." They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and to sit at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them and said to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be the first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
You may be seated. We take time to pray for many things. We want to praise the Lord for his selfless act. And that act becomes the model from which we are to live and serve and follow Jesus. I want to praise the Lord. We already received mission promises of $16,780. Our goal this year is $75,000, so we want to encourage you to pray about that on a personal level, whereas God would want you to give to missions. We want to continue to pray for people that are hurting in our midst, for Jim Olson, for Ashley Kostick, for Gracie Barr, for Ron Kildee. And we want to pray for our broken world, that it would have its heart open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you for your selfless act, that act that causes all of us to have hope. And Lord, that hope that we so desperately need for our own lives is a hope we want to share with others. So help us to be selfless in return. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for all of the mission promises we've already received. I pray that you would nudge us and encourage us to be selfless in our giving to the mission work of our church. And Lord, we think of the people in our midst that are going through physically tough times. We would pray for your grace and mercy to be upon their bodies and upon their spirit. We pray for Jim Olson, for Ashley Kostick, for Gracie Barr, for Ron Kildee, that you would touch their bodies and bring healing and hope to their bodies. And Lord, help them to have good days, to be encouraged, Lord, by the hope and promise of your death and your resurrection. And Lord, we pray for our broken world, our broken and divided world that is so complex and so chaotic. Lord, we would ask for your mercy to bound in us as a church, that we would be the first to love our enemies, to serve our enemies, to pray for our enemies, to care for people that we for some reason have a hard time getting along with, Lord. But Lord, you've called us to the gospel. And not just to talk about it, but to live it in a way that helps people to know Jesus as the solution to their lives. So, Lord, I would ask that you would empower Steve and Barb, use them in a mighty way, prepare our hearts to receive their message. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. And at this time, we have Barb and Steve Swanson, and it's so great to have them come and share with us their message, as they are missionaries that will soon be going to Sweden in June. And I'm going to get you the mic over here. And she's got a bag here, a bag of surprises.
Good morning, International Falls. Well, we are really excited to be here with you, and I have the great privilege of introducing my husband to you, because other times when I've been here since 1995, I've come as Barb Boka, Covenant Missionary to Zaire, Congo, Covenant Missionary to the Fulani in the Central African Republic, but in 2004, God gave me a husband, and it is with great joy that I introduce you to Steve. I just want to say a few things, even as I've watched my own missionary journey with Covenant World Mission evolve over the years. I want to cover or clarify a few things with vocabulary as being a Covenant missionary. And so this is kind of a dovetail onto a conversation that we had at the trivia table last night, which, by the way, go Golden Girls. We were awesome. So Covenant World Mission is the common word that you have heard us describe ourselves as missionaries. Everyone is a Covenant World missionary, missionary. But about 5 years ago, as the Covenant reorganized in the offices in Chicago, rather than calling it the Department Covenant World Mission, they changed it to a mission priority called Serve Globally. And so even as you walked into church today, you got a newsletter from Serve Globally. So just so you know, that's that part of the conversation. And then another thing that came up at the table last night was, what is the Mosaics Project? And if I could give you a little bit of a history lesson with Covenant World Mission Serve Globally in Europe, originally they started in 1995, working in Europe, and Steve was part of that original team as a Covenant missionary working in Germany and France, in Spain, Czech Republic. And then in 2005, they started a new project called the Mosaics Project, and that's what I've been always working under in Europe. And the Mosaics Project is specifically designed to reach the marginalized, the people who are not a part of the dominant European culture. So, for example, Mosaics will look like Roma gypsies in Spain. In Belgium, Mosaics always was refugee ministry, and then when Hannah Baker joined our team, we also did work among women who were trafficked in the sex trade. In Czech Republic, it's always been about prison ministry and also ministry to trafficked women. And in Germany now, they're starting to work with refugees. So that's the Mosaics Project. It's specifically to Europe, working with partner churches, but reaching out to the marginalized, the immigrants and refugee communities. And I think I'm gonna give the mic to Steve now.
So one of the things that God showed us over our last term in Belgium, we've been living in Antwerp, Belgium, where I was serving as pastor of an international church and Barb was working with the Mosaics Project. God was showing us that he was bringing large numbers of newcomers, immigrants and refugees into our world, our city, even into our church community. So it got me thinking and got our church starting to think about, well, what does God say in his word about refugees? Because I think there's a bit of a difference between refugees and immigrants, and we had to kind of get at some of those ideas. You know, immigrants, many of us come from families who were immigrants. Grandparents or great-grandparents came from Sweden or Norway or Germany or other countries and settled in a new land here and integrated and became part of a new culture. That's been part of biblical history too. When you think of Paul and Silas, they went as immigrants. They didn't stay very long in any one place, but they moved around to share the gospel. Or in the Old Testament, Abraham is a great example of an immigrant. God called him from another country to move to a land that he was promising him. But refugees are people who don't always have that choice. They're forced out of their home by natural disasters or war, and they come to a new home and usually are carrying very little with them. They've left in a hurry. Perhaps the best example of that is our Lord Jesus himself. We celebrate Christmas and his birth at Bethlehem, but we often forget what happened right after that story. Jesus didn't get to move to Nazareth right away, set up shop in his dad's carpenter place. He and his family, his mother and father, had to go to Egypt, where they lived as refugees. So even our Lord Jesus himself knew what it felt like to be a stranger, a foreigner in a new land. And so those kinds of stories gave us a lot of courage and encouraged us to think about how we could be the love. We could show the love of Jesus, but also open up our lives to the refugees that God was bringing to our part of the world. So I think Barb wants to tell a little bit of a story. Yeah, okay. And then...
Yeah, I thought you were going to be... Ooh, maybe I pulled something off. I would like to give a little bit of an update of what's happened since the last time I was here, which was March of 2012. And in 2012, we were home for home assignment. I was here as a covenant missionary. Steve took a leave of absence from the church. He actually didn't get up to International Falls that time because he was doing another training down in Chicago. And I remember when we were getting ready to go back, it's like, oh God, it's so great. You're calling us back to Belgium. We knew we were supposed to go back to Belgium. We had ministry partners, covenant short-term missionaries that we had left working in Belgium at the church and with the refugees and with the ministry to the women. And there was another couple that had joined them, and we were excited about going back, and we went back with great enthusiasm. And then about 6 months into being back, things got really tough because we all recognized a few things. One was, we had changed. The church had changed. We no longer had ministry partners with Covenant World Mission to work with. There was a lot that had changed. And I remember saying to Steve, did we miss the mark? Did we miss what God was telling us to do? Were we really supposed to come back to Belgium? I remember one time even saying, all right, I'm done with Belgium. And I love Belgium, but I was done with Belgium. And then Faye showed up. And Faye was the first of a string of refugees who heard about us in various ways. Some of them were coming through the women's clubs that we were running every week faithfully at the Refugee Center. But Faye and her husband showed up because they found us on the internet. If you type in English-speaking Protestant church in Antwerp, our church was the first one that showed up. And so Faye's husband and another guy had come in January. And then on Easter Sunday, March 2013, Faye shows up, and she came to our house for lunch, and she said, I'm not interested in another religion. Because she had grown up in Islam, she had grown up in darkness, she had grown up with the color black, and she wasn't interested in another religion. Here's her story. Time for the video. The story of the Good Samaritan fits well in a setting like Antwerp. So many refugees are coming here. Who will be the compassionate person to offer hospitality? The world sees refugees as people who are destitute or dangerous. When you meet a refugee and you share a meal, you feel their humanity. You find the warmth of new friendship and the connection between someone else who needs the love of Jesus just as much as you.
Yeah.
Ali Reza came from Iran, and he quickly found a deep relationship with Christ. As our church has embraced new immigrants, we have seen so many people with Muslim backgrounds, just like Ali Reza, come to Christ. Now they are passionate about Jesus and his work, and they are sharing with their family too. Despite many troubling circumstances, Ali Reza has peace about his future. I joined the Mosaics Project as a covenant missionary and began serving refugees in the camps in Belgium. We became great friends with a woman who was in a refugee camp. For her safety, we couldn't show her face.
It was exactly 1 year that we came to Belgium, and we have changed 8 places to be. I was so tired, and I really need some place.
Two church members, Jan and Helena, had Faye and her family over for dinner after church. They found out Faye's family had no place to stay, so they took them in. One night turned into 2 months, and Faye became a part of Jan and Helena's family.
This is exactly what Jesus wants you to do, and he did it for us. And you never knew us before.
They were simply responding to God's call to be like the Good Samaritan. And the fruit of their hospitality was evident as both Faye and her husband are now faithful followers of Jesus.
When I start my journey to walk with Jesus every day.
The church here in Antwerp has been our new home, and we love it. Refugees and immigrants are coming to places where they can hear and see and experience the gospel in a fresh way. And we're excited to see how God's message is delivered as fellow believers continue to extend compassion and hospitality to refugees throughout Europe.
Every time I watch that video, I get a little bit homesick for the people and the places that we show you in that video. But that's because God really showed us and taught us some very important lessons as we walked and journeyed with these friends. The first one is that people bring a lot of negative feelings about the church and about the word Christian when you talk to them. Obviously, Faye had some feelings about being a Christian or meeting Christians when we first met her. She didn't want another religion. She didn't want all that history that goes with the conflict between Islam and Christianity. But we soon discovered that what she really wanted was to know Jesus, and that Jesus was actually appearing to her in some of her dreams and visions, and she didn't know who he was. But as she lived with Jan and Helena, as she and her husband lived in their home, as they came and worshiped in a community of welcome and peace, they began to discover that it wasn't about a new religion. It was about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often when Barb and I would introduce ourselves in Europe, we wouldn't call ourselves Christians. Now you might say, well, how can a missionary not call himself a Christian? But we discovered that not only among the Muslim friends we were making, but also among the Europeans who had a lot of negative feelings about the church, Christian was not a helpful word. And so we would introduce ourselves as followers of Jesus. And right away, that opened up a door, because Faye said, well, what do you mean? How can you follow somebody who died 2,000 years ago? Or our Belgian neighbor says, well, why do you follow Jesus? What do you know about? Tell me more about Jesus. And so we discovered that that's one of the tools that God was using to bring people closer to himself. We need to be followers of Jesus, not just preaching words, but sharing our lives so that people can see his love at work within us. My wife loves scarves. You've probably never seen her. I've never seen her not wear a scarf since I married her, so.
So in order to tell this part of the story, I need to wear a scarf and I need to carry the refugee suitcase. Because what I want to do in sharing this story is telling you a little bit about my friend B, but also the importance about how you partner with your missionaries. Years ago, in 2013, there's a Covenant Church in Duluth, Minnesota, and they sent out a team to work with us. And what the team did, they were six people, three teenagers, the youth pastor, a youth worker, and an older woman who was there to cook and kind of be the prayer warrior over the team. And they came and they did our children's church. They did worship for us at our church. And then they came and they did 3 days of vacation Bible school at the Refugee Center. Now, what you need to know is that at the Refugee Center, we should not be doing vacation Bible school, because that's the limit that we've been told from the center. It's a center that's run by the federal government. It's where people live while they're waiting to get their permission to live in Belgium. And we go in with a ministry team from the church every week, and during the vacations we go in and we do kids clubs, and we decided to do vacation Bible school. And this is what happened. We did it. We went under the cover of the prayers of the church and the people around the world. And then as we were leaving the center, we had just taught the story of the Good Samaritan. And we prayed together as a team that God would give us an opportunity to be the Good Samaritan. Steve and the boys had gone on ahead. They were waiting for us at the train station. I'm walking down the street with three of the young women. And all of a sudden, I see B walking down the street. Now, I don't know Bea, but she's wearing a veil like this. She's all dressed in black. It's summertime. It's Ramadan, the month-long fast for our Muslim friends. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which means that she has not had anything to eat or drink since before dawn. It's summertime. Did I mention that? And she's carrying the refugee suitcase. Not one, but two. Now, mine isn't so heavy today, but hers is really heavy because it's packed with everything that she's carried with her on her journey. I went up to her and I said, "Mevrouw, kan ik u helpen?" Which is local Flemish language for, "Hello, ma'am, can I help you?" And she looks at me and she said, "I don't know yet that language, but if you speak English, we can have a conversation." Great, let's talk, girlfriend. She gives me her letter, and her letter is written in Flemish, telling her how to get from Brussels to Capellen train station and then walk the 2.5 miles from the train station to the refugee center with her bags. Did I tell you that she has two heavy bags? It's Ramadan. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I knew in this moment it was our chance to be the Good Samaritan. So I sat down the girls from Duluth. I said, "Just chat. Here is our new friend. Just chat." They chatted. I ran and got the keys, totally confused, Steve, because he's thinking we're going on for dinner with the Chinese family, and I said, "I need the car right now and get everything out of the car." I drove B to the center and dropped her off, and then I did the most silly thing that I have ever done with a woman. I forgot to get her phone number. Now, why did I need her phone number? Because in order to keep in contact with her, I need to have a phone number to send her a text message and say, "Hey, B, how you doing?" I forgot to get her number. 2 weeks later, when we went to the refugee center to start our women's club again in September, there's Faye waiting for me with wide open arms. "Where were you, Barbara? I've been waiting for you." It was a good time to reunite with my friend Bea. I'll pick up her story in a minute.
The other lesson that God has taught us through these years of watching His Spirit move people into our world was that we need to have prayer. We need to pray for eyes that see the one that God is bringing into our world, like B. We all know through the media reports and through things that we've heard and read that there are dangers out there. And in fact, when I watch our video, I watched it for 6 months until I noticed at the beginning part of the video, when you're seeing our main train station, on the balcony above the train, underneath the train clock, there are two armed guards with submachine guns, because that's what's happened after the bombings in Belgium. There's a lot more police and security around, so people are nervous and worried. But we also know that God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. He wants us to be wise, to be careful, but not to have a spirit of fear. And so we learned through our experiences that we needed to pray more and to trust Him more, but to open our eyes to the ones He was bringing. And so Faye became part of a team, really. She and her husband began inviting their friends. And pretty soon we had 20, 25 people from their home country, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, coming to know, learn more about Jesus. Kind of overwhelmed us at the beginning, and we were suspicious and wondering what's their real motive for being here. But as we listened to their stories and as they worshiped with us, we began to realize they were sincerely seeking the truth. And a year and a half ago, we baptized 18 of them, Faye and her husband included, into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, their Lord. And you know that when a Muslim takes that step, it's a great step of faith and challenge, because many times their families will reject them and cut them off. That's happened with some of them, but even Faye says, "I am praying already for my family back in my homeland, that Jesus will appear to them in their dreams, and that I'll have a chance to explain the good news to them." But now you need to hear the rest of Barb's story with Bea. During lunch, we're going to show you some more pictures of the baptism and a couple pictures of Bea, so that's a little incentive for you to come to lunch, too.
There's also Belgian treats and Swedish fish on our table downstairs, so I don't know if that interests you. So one of the best pieces of news that a refugee can get when they're waiting in the refugee center in Belgium is the word positive. It means that they have received a registered letter from the federal government saying, yes, you have permission to stay in Belgium. It's a great day for a refugee. It's a very sad day for the missionary because it means that the refugee is now going to leave the center and they probably will be moved to a small little Flemish village about 100 kilometers, so that's about 75 miles away from where we live. So B came one day to Women's Club and she says, Barb, I got a positive. It's so true. We prayed together that God would give her permission to stay in Belgium. Okay, do you remember that she has a scarf and she's believing in a different God? But we prayed together. I said, let's pray that God will give you permission and that he has a plan for you. That plan is for hope, for a future. He's not going to destroy you. He didn't bring you all the way from the Middle East to destroy you in Belgium. He will take care of you. And so she comes and she just gives me this huge hug. Oh, I got positive. Great. She moves out of the center. 6 months later, Steve's goddaughter comes to visit from Berlin. And she said, I want to go out and visit with your friends. And so I said, let's go visit B. So we got on the train. We put together a little gift package. We forgot the gift package on the train, silly us. So we walk empty-handed into a home of someone from the Middle East, which you just don't do that, but that's what we had to do. And as we were there and we had tea together and then we ate and then it was time for her to do her prayers and then it was time for us to drink tea again and then it was time for her to suggest that we would stay the night at her house. And I said, no, I have to go home and take care of my husband. But I decided that this was a teachable moment with these two young girls, the Clara and her sister. And I said, B, why don't you tell the girls what you know about Jesus? And did I mention to you that back in her homeland, B was teaching the Quran? Okay. So the girls are sitting there going, Barb, she's wearing a veil. What does she know about Jesus? And then B comes up and says, Jesus is the one who shows up in my dreams. And he's bright and he's glorious. I had never heard a Muslim woman use the word glorious. He's bright and he's all full of love. And when Jesus shows up in my dreams, I feel at peace. Now, I wish I could tell you that that B is following Jesus. She actually decided to go back home to her homeland because it was too painful for her, even after journeying all these years to get permission to stay, it was too painful for her to be away from her family. And so as we listen to the news every night and we hear her homeland being mentioned in the news, I pray for B. And here's what I pray. God, may the truth of Jesus Christ enter into her heart. May the scales that are on her eyes blinding her from the truth about Jesus, may that just be removed in your timing, God. And I am so thankful for the times, the moments that we had together to just plant more seeds about Jesus, telling the truth, having her share the truth, what she knows about Jesus as well.
So why are we leaving this amazing place where God sent us? That's a question that my wife asks me often. Why are we leaving? And I have to say it's because God is calling us to a new home. I really sense that God was inviting both of us to become more directly involved with this huge wave of immigrants that have come to Europe. And you know, we've been praying for a long time that God's good news, the good news of Jesus, will reach the Middle East. And in many of those countries, it would be impossible for us to live as missionaries. They don't allow that. So what does God do? Yeah, he brings them to us, to our doorsteps. Sweden alone took 170,000 refugees in, most of them from Syria. Germany took over 1 million. And we hear all about the problems that have come with that. Those are the things that make the news. And we know that there are issues about immigration and safety and security. We don't whitewash those. But we also know that God has given us, the church, an opportunity to be his love, to share his good news, to teach people about the love of Jesus right on our doorsteps in the backyards of Europe. And so we looked for a partner that we could work with. We found this Swedish Covenant Church in Malmo, Sweden, that was just beginning to reach out to the Syrian refugees that are in their neighborhood. They said, would you come and teach us or show us or learn with us how we can build bridges to these people and show them God's love? And so Barb and I are planning to move to Malmo, Sweden, right across from Copenhagen in the very southern part of Sweden, to work with the Wesley Kirke, which is a church named after John Wesley, to be the body and the flesh and blood of Jesus' love. And so we covet your prayers. We're still raising a little more support to get to that 100% goal, but we're also praying for the strategic place to live in that city, because we want to be in a place where both the refugees and the Swedish church members and Swedish people will feel welcome and find it easy to come to, because we believe this is a ministry that God is calling his church to. It's not just Barb and Steve's work, but it's the work of his whole church. And the pastor of that little church said, we're already praying that as we reach out to refugees, God will use their enthusiasm, their new faith, to rekindle the faith that many of our Swedish brothers and sisters have lost. I think my grandfather, who was born in Sweden and became a part of the Covenant Church there and then moved to America, he would be a bit confused that his grandson is going back to that homeland to be a missionary. But as we explain what the opportunity is to share the good news with these refugee friends, these newcomers, we just believe that God is calling us all to be a part of that. So we thank you for your partnership with us. Your prayers sustain us. And it's really fun for me personally now to have faces to go with the name International Falls on the paper. So we will have a little table with some more of our information. The full story, a little bit more of what Barb shared about B, is written down there too. Please take one of our prayer cards, and if you'd like to get more information on an email, we send out a newsletter once every 6 weeks or so, just sign up. But thank you so much for the gift that you give us. I want to close with these verses from Jeremiah. Barb already quoted part of them, but I want you to hear the whole thing, because you probably memorized this Jeremiah 29:11. But I'm going to read till verse 14. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places from where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. These are words that we pray with our Muslim friends. We pray that blessing over them, that promise to them, and pray in the name of Jesus that they will know who their Lord and Savior is. That's our prayer for you too. May you have a future. You have a future with a hope, a God who cares about you. And we will be praying for all of you and the congregation here at International Falls. Thanks.